Welcome to the AI Hustle Podcast, the podcast where we break down the latest in AI news, tools, and interview experts helping you hustle and do more using AI. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you'll know that over the last 6 months, I've been working on a stealth AI startup. Of the hundreds of projects I've covered, this is the one that I believe has the greatest potential. So today I'm excited to announce AI Box. AI Box is a no-code AI app building platform paired with the App Store for AI that lets you monetize your AI tools. The platform lets you build apps by linking together AI models like ChatGPT, Midjourney, and 11 Labs. Eventually, we'll integrate with software like Gmail, Trello, and Salesforce, so you can use AI to automate every function in your organization. To get notified when we launch and be one of the first to build on the platform, you can join the waitlist at aibox.ai. The link is in the show notes. We are currently raising a seed round of funding. If you're an investor that is focused on disruptive tech, I'd love to tell you more about the platform. You can reach out to me at jaden@aibox.ai. I'll leave that email in the show notes. ChatGPT is obviously an incredibly powerful tool, but that being said, would ChatGPT die if, for example, someone were to release essentially ChatGPT that was open source? And the idea being that anyone would be able to take this open source ChatGPT model, train it on any of their own data, or perhaps it already has stock data that it's already trained on, and then be able to use this for commercial purposes. If something like that came out, would that kill ChatGPT? So today we're going to find out, because Databricks has just released DALL-E 2.0, which is a text generating AI model that can power any chats like chatbox, text summarizers, and basic search engines. And it's the second version. Databricks actually released an original version of DALL-E back in March. And what's really, really important here is that it's open source and it's licensed to allow independent developers and companies to use this for commercial purposes. So you don't have to pay a royalty, and you can use this to make money, which other ones have come out, but it's just been for researchers and for research purposes of AI. Now, why is, you know, Databricks, which is a company that really, like, it makes all of its money from data analytics, why is it open sourcing an AI model? So the CEO, Ali Goetze, he says that it's just purely for philanthropy. He was quoted as saying, "We are in favor of more open and transparent large language models in the market in general, because we want companies to be able to build, train, and own AI-powered chatbots and other productivity apps using their own proprietary data sets." And it's interesting because he said that we might be the first, but I hope not to be the last. So he's not even hoping, you know, like they're the big project. He just wants to kind of set a precedent where people are starting to build this. And this is really interesting because obviously with OpenAI receiving $10 billion from Microsoft, this area is hotly contested. A lot of big tech companies are coming in here. A lot of money is going this way. So it's really interesting to see a company completely open sourcing a project like this. So while it does sound incredibly philanthropic, I guess you could say, for them to make this free open source model, you also do have to think a little bit about what the upside would happen for Databricks, or why, you know, obviously this takes a lot of money to build, fine tune, and make this. So why would they be doing it? When talking to the CEO, he mentioned in an article recently that he hoped that developers who build using DALL-E 2.0 and that are building apps with it are building using Databricks. But to his original point, it's indeed one of the first ChatGPT-like models available without major usage restrictions. So you don't have to use Databricks to build a tool here. Obviously, that's their hope. And I think, you know, there's no way that they're forcing people to do this. I just think they're hoping that there's enough goodwill from them creating this powerful model that people will use it. So this is, you know, a kind of one of their first generation models that came out. Well, I guess their first generation came out a while ago. This is kind of the second generation to that. But what's really interesting is their first generation model, and actually a lot of these different AI models that have come out, originally were trained on outputs from OpenAI, and even Google has got swept up in this controversy of training their model off of outputs from OpenAI, which is a clear violation to OpenAI's terms of service. So the first version of DALL-E that Databricks released, that's what it did. And the second version they have now, and of course, that's another reason why they have to make it open source and free, is because it's, you know, well, originally it was trained on OpenAI, so it would be illegal for them to monetize that. Now it is not trained on OpenAI. They said that they have this new version. It's on their own proprietary data. They said that they created it on a training set with about 15,000 records generated by thousands of Databricks employees who voluntarily contributed files to it. And that, you know, 15,000 set was used to guide essentially this open source text generating model, which they called GPT-J6B. And it's, they have a nonprofit research group called Luther AI. And essentially, this is all coming out of that. So the CEO of Databricks, he does admit that DALL-E 2 has a few limitations. Well, a lot of limitations. This thing's pretty new. And one of those is it only does English, and, you know, it can be toxic and offensive in its responses, which is another very interesting aspect of this. They've trained this model, and it's kind of like the out-of-the-box stock model of an AI. Obviously, OpenAI has done a ton of work to kind of fine-tune the responses that come out of it to be more politically correct or to, you know, not say things that it shouldn't, whatever. And that has gotten a lot of criticism in and of itself, because depending on what side of the political spectrum you are, you may or may not like different responses that ChatGPT will give you. That being said, DALL-E 2.0 did not receive a lot of those different fine tunings. It's more of kind of out in the wild, and you're getting something a little bit more of a rougher draft. And some people are criticizing that. Is it, you know, it's dangerous. Some people are saying they would just prefer the stock AI model. So it's really interesting, but that is what's happening with it right now. They have a couple examples I've seen online where they like asked it some questions. You know, everyone's just trying to get to like the political stuff on there. So they asked him about like women in the workforce, and it had some like false info that it threw in there, some fake statistics it threw in there. It was overall really positive towards women working, but the numbers it had were wrong. And so anyways, people criticized that. It also was asked about Donald Trump and if he was responsible for January 6th, and it just kind of came up with a bunch of random facts about how he went to jail and started a war with Iran and built a wall between America and Mexico, which is not super accurate. So obviously, you know, it gets some things wrong like OpenAI did, and it's going to be interesting to see if open sourcing this allows this thing to be fine-tuned and to become better, or new versions as they come out, if those will allow this to be more accurate. A lot of the same problems OpenAI had early on, but it is really incredibly impressive, and I think people are definitely overlooking the how big of a deal this is to have an open source language learning model like this. While it does have its limitations, those can be fine-tuned by companies and other people in the future or future updates. But while it does have its limitations, any company can grab this out of the box and build their own in-house AI models off their own personal data sets. And this is incredibly powerful for really democratizing AI at this point and not having it all be held in the hands of a few powerful companies, Microsoft and Google in particular. So it is interesting, though, because open sourcing can kind of open a whole can of worms, right? When you have people taking your code, forking it, changing it, and modifying it. In what happens with open source, you don't really get all of the security that you would have in a closed source project. So, you know, essentially people could introduce dangerous code into it, and hackers and other people can use it for malicious activity. So there is that downside, and some are saying that is going to be, you know, scaring off different businesses and keeping them away. However, some businesses are using this. The telecom giant First Orion is testing DALL-E to let their engineers ask questions about documents stored on Confluence, the collaboration platform for onboarding and planning. You know, the CEO of Databricks did say, "We're freeing DALL-E because we believe open sourcing models is the best way forward. It gives researchers the ability to freely scrutinize the model architecture, helps address potential issues, and democratizes LLMs so that users aren't dependent on costly proprietary large-scale models." This is really interesting, right? Like, one aspect is that researchers have the ability to freely scrutinize the model. This is something that OpenAI has been criticized on because, you know, it's essentially a black box, and you can understand why, right? They don't want people to go see how they built it because it's a proprietary info and they don't want, people to clone them. But I mean, come on, everyone's cloning them now. Here's this open source. Everyone's kind of figuring this out. So I don't know if that's really a good enough excuse anymore, because people really want to know, you know, what is pure AI and what is biases that might be introduced by engineers or developers, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, what are the data sets? People have a lot of questions about these, and a lot of people just want transparency. They want to know what data was used, what safeguards were put in place, what biases may have been added. And so it's really interesting that we're now getting these open source ones that essentially are going to get around that. So essentially, by also open sourcing it, I would say that Databricks is also attempting to kind of wash its hands of the liabilities that come along with this, right? Because if you open source it, you're like, no, you know, everyone can monitor it. Everyone can make changes and adjustments to the code base, et cetera, et cetera. And so some people are saying, right, this is a little bit less appealing for businesses. But maybe this is a smart move on Databricks' department, because if they were trying to actually make one in-house that was competing against ChatGPT, they wouldn't be able to do that. But maybe making it open source where a lot of people can contribute and work on it. And here's a cool thing about open sourcing. If companies are grabbing this and throwing it into their own code base and it's open source, those companies are going to be incentivized to help maintain and improve the software. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens if this gets wide-scale adoption. I think that you're going to be able to see this thing really improves. And even the CEO of Databricks said you should expect both a continued investment in open source as well as innovations that help create or that help accelerate the applications of LLMs to key business challenges. So Databricks is, it would appear as though they are continuing to be committed to this kind of project and these types of projects in the future. And if this thing can really take off, this could be a very powerful challenge to OpenAI. This might be able to take them on in a way that Google or others are at the moment struggling to do. So it's going to be really interesting to watch this space and see what happens in the future. If you are looking for an innovative and creative community of people using ChatGPT, you need to join our ChatGPT creators community. I'll drop a link in the description to this podcast. We'd love to see you there, where we share tips and tricks of what is working in ChatGPT. It's a lot easier than a podcast, as you can see screenshots, you can share and comment on things that are currently working. So if this sounds interesting to you, check out the link in the comment. We'd love to have you in the community. Thanks for tuning in to the AI Hustle podcast. If you could do us a massive favor, we would really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. This helps people find the podcast. It helps people know this is a good place to go. And we would really, really appreciate it, as it helps us continue to bring on incredible guests and share incredible content for you to listen to.